Please be seated. Don't you just love it when Jesus asks a question? I'm sure, I'm convinced, that's what the Pharisees thought in this morning's reading. And that was a doozy of one. They sort of reasoned it out in the text for us, and there's no good answer for them. And then Jesus keeps talking. And we get the story of the father and the two sons. And the father goes to both of the sons to ask them to go work. Jesus' new families. And the first son says, nope, don't feel like it. But later goes out and works in the vineyard. And the second says, of course I will do that. And then takes a nap on the couch all day. And the question becomes for us then, who was the good son in all of this? And well, there's just really not any good answer to that now, is there? This is Jesus at, in some ways, his most precise thinking. This is the question, in many ways, that we are left with sorting out for the last 2,000 years. What does a life look like when we are following Jesus? And those are all really hard questions to answer. Although, hopefully, we're fairly sure that neither of the sons is a very good role model here. That doesn't make it any easier, though. If we can look at both of those, we're still left with mostly a bunch of options lying on the table. And then we watch people pick up different ones and assure us that if we only do this, or if we only pray that way, or if we only organize the church in this way, or if we focused more on this, we would be doing exactly what Jesus wants. The challenge with that is, fundamentally, Jesus is never that clear on what Jesus wants. There are a bunch of times where we get little hints of it. Remember the little children and let them come to me. Take care of those who have less than you do. But Jesus doesn't leave us with a 5-point plan for following Jesus. Jesus mostly just leaves us with Jesus. And that leaves us with a bunch of questions. We're in a church that relies on scripture and tradition and reason. And we look at scripture, this lasting record we have of Jesus, and often that's where the questions continue. And then we look at tradition, and we look at the lives of the disciples and those who were with Jesus, and we discover that our record-keeping back then wasn't very good. There was no archdeacon to assure you the bishop cared about how all of your records sorted out, and they just didn't do that very well. So we have some hints and questions, but more questions than hints. And so we're left with sort of reasoning this out for each of us. Now there's great strength in that. There's great freedom. And there's great truth in that, in this acknowledgement that we all come to Jesus and leave with something different every time. That this living faith of ours doesn't have a static answer to offer us. But we still don't know the answer to the question. Which son did what was right? I come from a family where, our answer would probably be we need a third option here. A and B are not looking so good, but I don't quite know what C would be. And what then does it mean to live the life Jesus asks us to live? Jesus invites us into living with him. And that one's just tricky. Because my answer is not necessarily going to be your answer. is not necessarily going to be the answer the person next to you or behind you or near you in the pews needs to give. This morning, we hear other stories, but we also hear Paul's Christological hymn in Philippians, his great statement about what Jesus was doing on earth with us. And it's beautiful. And it sounds like the gospel, who did not regard equality with God as something, but emptied himself and became human like us, even to the point of death. And the Father then highly exalted. There are a few lessons for us in that. First, Paul gives some hints or some guidelines. This is a life of humility and love, where our needs are not unimportant, but are no more important than those next to us. And if they need more basic things, if they need food and a place to live and safety, their needs might be more important. This is a life of humility and love we are invited into sharing. But perhaps the greater promise that Paul offers us is that Paul wasn't one of the disciples. He didn't write this after 3 years of following Jesus around. He wrote this after an encounter with Jesus on the road while he was persecuting the church. Paul wasn't here when Jesus argued with the Pharisees. He never saw the miracles or the feeding of thousands. Paul's encounter with Jesus came later, just like ours. And Paul reminds us that though Jesus poses complicated questions without clear and easy answers, they are answers we can still find. That those later followers of Christ, those people like us, can still and do still come close enough to Jesus to be transformed and to step into this life of humility and love that we are called to. As difficult as that is. Amen.